stretch out, that your skin can bring you so much pain. Now I hear you say, you got the best of both ways. Won't you come and take a walk in my shoes, and tell me if you take my place. Under the cover of my skin,
welcome to episode number 164 of the Inside Running Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another week, 21st of December here, getting close to Christmas. Two shows to go until the end of the year. Welcome to my co-host up in Canberra, Bradley Croker. How are you going tonight?
Very well, Brady. By the sounds of Moose, we're going to be carrying him like always.
Man, you're going all right, aren't we? We've just cracked a beer. We're just enjoying our Monday night, both on school holidays, having a good time.
Yeah, and happy one-year anniversary since we won the Steigen hashtag One Teams event.
Oh, was that a year ago?
Yeah, a year to the day.
I didn't see that in any, like, Facebook memories or anything popping up.
Nah, because we would have – remember, we didn't know the result until the next day. So I reckon Facebook stuff will pop up tomorrow.
It's all going to happen tomorrow. Yeah, right. Still one of the highlights of your and my career, I reckon.
Oh, It was a great night, and I was chatting to a couple of people about it up in Sydney on the weekend, and yeah, hopefully it's back next year.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about your trip to Sydney. Sydney's a bit in the news at the moment too. You're the man on the ground.
I feel like we're back in March again. Just how much it sort of escalated in the last 24, 48 hours. In hindsight, I'm not sure whether I should have went to Sydney, but it is what it is. Can't change it now.
We'll talk about that. I know what you mean. They've just re-put out the border on the river here, just the opposite side this time. It's real. It's getting real again. Julian Spence, Dan Anglesey, welcome to this week's show. How you going? A bit dusty.
Yeah, a little flat tonight.
Just, you can even hear it in the voice.
Yeah, I've had trouble putting sentences together today.
Celebrating your time trial, Moose.
Yeah, I did have a win on Saturday, and I'd say I had a loss on Sunday. But today, Monday, is where I pay the price.
This could be a long episode for some listeners if you're going to be talking like that for the next 60 minutes. We'll see how you go.
Mind you, his weekly recap might actually be short this week.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have the energy.
No curveballs thrown at us either, Brad.
Of an episode. Oh, I've got one for you.
We'll see what you got. All right, tell us about your week leading into your time trial down there at Geelong. At Deakin as well. I was expecting, what's the other one? Landy.
Any field. No, so Deakin, yeah, they've got a brilliant track. It's new. It's sort of got, I reckon it's probably about 5 years old now, but it doesn't get used very often. It's got soccer fields in the middle, a little basketball court on the end, and then like gym equipment, like a gym area off to the, like at around the 80 metre mark on the outside, and then football ovals next to it, really good quality ones. It's got like a gravel track about 4.5-5k around the grounds. It's a very good place to train. Warm up and cool down's excellent. You can do road loops in there and do a workout. I know Louis Rowan used to do a lot of his workouts in there on the road. 3k reps, pretty hilly. It's a good training location. But yeah, that was on Saturday night. So on Monday I ran with Bree just around Anglesey, so 12.6k, pretty wet, I think. Tuesday morning jogged before heading to Ballarat, and then I just jogged on Tuesday arvo because I was going to do a workout on Wednesday morning, which was the 13-minute fartlek. I think we talked about that in another show, where it's kind of an adjusted mono fartlek, but instead of doing 4 reps of everything, you actually just do 2 reps of everything. So 2 by 90, 2 by 60, 2 by 30, 2 by 15. And each interval on period is followed by a float recovery of the same duration. So 13 minutes, 4:07, I covered, and 3:12 pace. So certainly not setting the world on fire with that one. But I just can't. It's so early. I think the workout started at 5 to 7 in the morning. That's pretty. That's not me. Can't really get up for them anymore.
So you didn't feel good doing it?
No, not really. I just felt like I couldn't change gears. The ons weren't actually like nothing was slowing me down except my body not being able to actually run fast enough. Like, yeah.
Sign of getting old, Moose.
Yeah. Oh, plenty of those signs this weekend. Don't worry. Nothing more on a Sunday night at a nightclub, realizing that you're 14 years older than the next oldest person. but yeah, a few warning signs going on this weekend. Then, yeah, so got that done, jogged in the afternoon, had run club actually. It was Wednesday. The next morning we're in Ballarat again. So I jogged 7 in the morning and then ran that evening with Ali back down in Anglesey. We didn't do surges. So that was Thursday night. And then I was planning to run with Ali on Friday morning. But this is right when the Sydney outbreak sort of started happening, and then Ali had come back from Sydney because she was up there for a wedding. And so she's like, oh, I don't think I can run anymore with you until I get a COVID test. And so she had to go and get a test on Friday morning and had to self-isolate after that. So I did my 10K by myself in the morning. And then Saturday morning, I just had a light shakeout around Anglesey where I did some strides and drove to Ballarat, worked for the day, and that evening ran the 10K. So we've called it, someone's called it the Surf Coast Track Classic. I kind of like that. I don't know who I think Grant Simpson came up with that. It's a good name for it. So we ran a 5K and a 10K, very informal, no official timing, no official paces. It's quite fun. We had a great turnout, really. We didn't advertise it as such. We had a few Run Strong online coaching athletes there, but then a lot of it was just Surf Coast runners who rocked up, and a couple from Melbourne came down. So yeah, it was good. I'd say we had about like 20 people in the 5K, maybe 15 in the 10. So the 5K went off at 6:15 p.m. Who won? Alex Harvey, his name is, won the race. So he's a Run Strong athlete. He's based in Torquay, so he might be a new member of Surf Coast Track Club. But he ran about 15:30, and Ali ran. She was the first lady. She ran 16 minutes, pretty much 16 flat, I think. And then the 10K went off. We went off at 7, and yeah, it was an interesting race because we had Gunther, who I've been training with a little bit recently, and he's had some good workouts and he's put me to the sword a few times, and I haven't had any workouts where I've felt stronger than him. And then Paddy Stowe was coming down from Aubrey, and he's a bit of a local legend up there, but he hasn't really been tested in any races, so it was going to be his first race since sort of making a few breakthroughs in training. So he was keen to test himself. And we also had Hutchie on the pack. And then in the pack, there were a couple of guys trying to go 15 minutes as well, 15 flat. So they were going to jump on and be part of our pack. So, yeah, this was, like I said, at Deakin. And it's a pretty nice track. It's a little exposed. If it gets windy, it can get windy, but it wasn't bad. I'm not sure what the wind was, but it wasn't too bad. Perfect temperature, right when the sun was starting to go down. So the race went out. I took the first few laps, ran 72s, 73. So we went through in 302 and then swapped out, and everyone had a little go at the front for the first maybe 8-9 laps. We went through 3K in, I'm not sure actually. We went through 5K in 15:12, and the pack was down to 3. So it was myself, Pat, and Matt. And that was when things started to kind of heat up a little. At that point, I realized, I knew those guys were going to be faster than I was. If it got down to 400 meters to go. So I started to throw a few little testing sort of surges in. So maybe about 10 laps to go, I just run 50 meters hard and create a bit of separation. And then I wasn't fit enough or strong enough to really keep going with that surge, so I slowed down a little. But it did apply a bit of pressure behind me. And Paddy, I think it got to him a little bit, the fact that there was a lot of breaks happening, and then he would have to catch back up, and as soon as he would catch back up, then I would try to surge again. So he was the first one off the group. So Matt and I ran together for probably another four laps, maybe. With six laps to go, I dropped Gunther just gradually. It wasn't like a Bormies off. It was sort of he was a few steps behind, then he was 10 metres behind, then he was 20 metres behind. I just sort of rolled in. So my fastest Ks were, I think, probably 6 and 7. And then the last two Ks I maintained because I'd sort of done the work and I couldn't really go much faster. But by putting in the hard Ks at 6 and 7, I got the win. So I won the race in 30.09, the official unofficial timekeeper said. It was really fun. Love racing again. It's just different. Like, I mean, it's why we train. I likened it to a soldier who spends his whole life training but never actually getting on a battlefield. I mean, that's a weird comparison, but I reckon they would feel like pretty let down if they never actually got a chance to practice or to sort of play out what they practice day in, day out. And so running's fun. Racing's even more fun.
You celebrate for 3 seconds over the line before you stop your clock. Just say it's 30.12 Strava tax.
You know what I hate is finish line photos of people going for their watch. And I'm like, I don't care.
This isn't the Olympics, right? This is a little race in Geelong. You're scared the local newspaper's going to be there snapping a shot of you.
Well, what's the difference between me stopping my watch 2 or 3 seconds after? Who cares?
Righty-o.
Do you care? You obviously care because you've
I was just wondering why the difference in the Strava time compared to your official time.
I'll stop trying to bring him down, Brady.
I did have him for a bit. Have you at 29.45, but it sounds like you've done a lot of work off the front.
Sounds like he's watched 45.
That's what I had, right?
I didn't think he's going to run that quick. I reckon 30. I thought maybe like 30.20-ish.
That was like by 1K's. They were pretty solid last week.
I reckon watching a few Kenyan documentaries and watching them surge mid-race, that got you the win.
My question is, though, Moose, if you were in a better quality field, do you reckon there was more time there? Because it sounds like you did do a lot of work off the front. For example, that one we set up in Bendigo where we were just rolling like 70, 71s and you only had to do like 1K worth of work the whole time?
I'm not sure. I don't think it's fair to say, because it's not fair on those that have gone and done it for me to say, oh, yeah, I could have gone heaps faster. Like, there's no way of knowing until you actually do it. Yeah. And so you can't say those things, I don't reckon.
You can say it about other people, but you can't say it about yourself. Yeah, and you are a pretty strong front runner.
Yeah, I like her to be in the front.
Yeah.
Did Gunther regret wearing spikes?
I think he regretted it on Sunday when his cars were fucked on the long run.
Yeah, what was it? 10 seconds between yous. Did he try to claim that's a win? That's the difference between the spikes and the next percenters?
You would have agreed.
Bloody oath, I would have.
He didn't claim anything. Well, you were the only one who was actually interested in who wore what.
I was like, yeah. I thought he might have. I was surprised he spiked up.
Well, a lot of people love them. Like, they think that they're massively performance enhancing, but for me, this is a training race, so I want to be able to rock up on Sunday and run long without any issues. And my plantar is pretty bad on the track anyway; like it doesn't enjoy it too much. So wearing a bit more shoe is a smart idea for me.
Yeah, and you'd only been in the spikes that previous week for the first time.
A couple of strides only. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought that was a smart move. And then Sunday.
Sunday, yeah, just did a long run. from Point Addis, ran 22K, a couple of hills out there, but not too much. Just, yeah, it was fun. Nice morning, pretty humid. Yeah, so 22K, so 120 for the week, and about to step up next week with, or this week we're in right now, do a lot more mileage. Started softly on the Monday, but it gets bigger during the week. So, yeah, looking forward to it, digging in.
Good. And any official races locked in?
Nothing locked in yet. So I've got it in my eye on a few, but, yeah, nothing locked in.
Something in Jan. Brad, what have you been doing?
So obviously went to Sydney on the weekend. Monday was just 60 minutes, 4:23s out at Mulligan's. Tuesday was my first day of official daddy daycare. Viv went back to work after maternity leave, so looked after the kids, and then headed out to the track. So we didn't actually have a group session set up, but I knew that there was going to be one other guy there, and I thought, oh, I'll go to the track at least. It'll be easy to get a session done. So I did 8 600s off 75 seconds rest. It was like probably the first three quarters of the week here. It was like hot and quite humid, like really humid for Canberra. And it was one of those days where like warming up, I just felt really lethargic and zapped. And did the first rep in 150. And I'm like, whoa, that felt really, really hard. And to the point that I thought there's no way I was going to get through the eight reps. But then as it went on, I wouldn't say I felt great compared to all the other track sessions I've been doing lately. I didn't feel amazing. But, I went 150, 148, 149, 147, 147, 147, 146, 144. So I was actually quite surprised to get through the session and actually run. Like if you told me after the first rep that I'd run 6 seconds faster on the last rep, and feel probably better, I wouldn't have believed you. So it was decent, I guess. So that was Tuesday.
What do you go through 400 in for them?
Probably like 70, 71, 72, I guess.
Yeah.
Like probably it's probably more the first 200 ends up being a little bit quick, I reckon. Because that's the first sort of split you get, and you look down, and you're like, oh yeah, I've probably gone a little bit too quick, and it does hurt you then over that next lap if you've gone a second too quick. It wasn't too bad. Like, you know, obviously it's nowhere near what I used to, like. I had to look back at what I used to do 8 600s in, and it's nowhere near that. But for where I'm at, it's a decent session.
There's a bit to learn from that as well for runners out there when they rock up to a race and their warm up, they feel really shit, and their strides, they feel average, and they're going, oh, this is going to be a horrible run. Like, how can I race? I feel terrible even on the warm up. How can I go any faster than this? Rah, rah, rah. It actually doesn't matter that you feel shit. Yeah. Feeling good is a fucking luxury. I can't remember the last time I rocked up and felt good at a race or just felt poppy and sprightly, but it doesn't mean you can't go and get the work done.
Mm. Yeah. And the opposite can happen. Sometimes you feel amazing in the warm-up and then you start the session and it's shit house.
Yeah.
Because I remember Leanne Pompiani was out there, and after my first rep, she's like, oh, no group today. I'm like, nah, solo. And I said, oh, I can't wait for this to be over. That first rep was rubbish. But, session definitely improved as it went on, and I'm glad I sort of stuck it out. Wednesday, another hour, right here, humid hour. Like Canberra is traditionally like so dry. So when we have like 80, 90% humidity, it's such a shock to the system. So that was 4:22s. Then Thursday, I didn't get out till the afternoon. It was close to 30 degrees. So just went down to the synthetic ovals and just ran around there for 10K. 4:14s, probably a bit GPS friendly, but definitely ran too hard in terms of heart rate for that weather. And then on Friday, I decided to actually go to the gym. Once again, it was hot, and I just felt like I knew it was going to be my biggest week in probably 3 months, and a couple of the hot days had just sort of zapped me a little bit, and I knew that if I went to the gym to do a tempo, I could just control my heart rate a little bit better than I would outside. So warmed up, jumped on and basically planned to just run three minute 30Ks on the treadmill for 30 minutes. And I don't know if you guys find this, but obviously when you do a warm up outside, you warm up, have a stretch, you do some strides before, whereas you don't really have the opportunity to do that in the gym unless you, you know, you pump the treadmill up for a bit. So like I changed my shoes after the warm up, went to like the yoga room and did a couple of like 40 meter strides, and I jumped on the treadmill, pumped it straight up to 17K an hour, which is 3:30s, but it felt like I was running faster than the 3 minute Ks that I was doing on the track on Tuesday. It just felt really uncomfortable. But after about 5 minutes, you start to sort of adjust to the pace. And yeah, heart rate was surprisingly low. Like I only averaged 159, maxed at 168. So I think for the last 5 minutes, I maybe pumped it down to more like 320s. But I finished that session actually feeling like really, really good. I had the cricket on, so I was sort of not paying too much attention to it because I just ran a bit too hard to focus purely on the cricket, but, you know, getting a few updates here and there. But it was that perfect, exactly how you should feel after a tempo, going, yep, I've worked a little bit, but I could, you know, keep going for quite a while. Then Saturday, met my athletes here that I coach. So we've started up on the third Saturday of every month. We'll do a social sort of 9-10K followed by coffee, and we'll sort of rotate the runs. We'll go to different places around Canberra. So for the first one, we went to Mulligan's Flat, no surprises. So there's six of us. A couple couldn't make it. So we did like 9.5K or so at sort of 4:33s I averaged, and then coffee. So it was good fun.
And hey, then drove. What's this Mulligan's Flat Track Club?
So I've sort of been joking for a while that there is no Mulligan's Flat Track Club, but it would be sort of cool.
Don't you have the agony of defeat?
Yeah. Well, so I didn't have any contribution to the agony of defeat. But that's sort of the group, like a lot of the athletes that I coach are now part of that Strava group. I don't even know how that group came about. I'll find out actually tomorrow at the track, and I'll be able to report back next week. So I've had no input into that other than setting the sessions for them and coaching, you know, about nine of them. So
bit of talk about merch here as well, Croaks.
Yeah, one of the guys. So, well, I drove to then Sydney after the run, and by the time I got to Sydney, some guy had designed one of the guys I coached had designed a hoodie. So I'm not sure whether merch will happen. Bit too much effort for me, I think. So anyway, drove to Sydney, headed out to Bankstown for the community 5K that I was pacing. And so the 20 minutes bus was in the B race. Before I went out, I actually set up my watch just to have like 13 intervals of 95 seconds, because I knew that if it beeped pretty much every lap at 95 seconds, that would be like 19:48 or something. So that's pretty much the pace that I was running for the first three and a half, 4K. And I still had two guys with me, and with sort of 600 to go, the youngster who's like 10, he took off, and another guy also went past. And so I looked behind, and there was too big a gap to sort of just, I would have had to just basically stop and wait for the next pack. So I thought I'd just then pick up the pace and just help those last two guys finish. So I ended up running 19:35. I think there was three or four guys I know of that that broke 20 minutes, and a few of them for the first time. So that was always, it's always a sort of rewarding experience. And then ducked off and went and had a shower and grabbed some food, and then came back for the rest of the Albie Thomas meet, which we'll go through. And then Sunday I headed out to Centennial Park and met up with, good mate Nick Cope. He runs, so Jeremy Roth's a coach now. So he's got a squad. They start at Centennial Park at 8 o'clock, and it's the traditional run that I used to do when Ken Green was coaching me. So but predominantly I was running with Copey, Tommy DeCano came, and Jack Maxwell, who I also coach. So we did 2 hours. It was good fun, bit of banter. Because Copey's the old hates any shoe technology, and Tommy's all for it. So bit of banter there, and I managed to pick up two cases of beer throughout the run, because I think Kopi asked Tommy about Benny Saint, and Tommy sort of informed him that he'd had been having some hammy issues, and something about his age came up, and they're like, oh yeah, well, I guess he's 40 now. I'm like, no, he's not 40 yet, he's 40 next year. And they were like adamant that he was 40. I'm like, nah, he's not. I said, I'll bet you a case of beer. So Kopi took me up, and Jack took me up on it, and I should have pushed Tommy a little bit harder. So could have got three cases of beer. And we finished the run, get back to the car, check the AA site, the rankings, and the Wikipedia, and born 81. So 2 hours and two cases of beer richer. So it was good fun. 28.5K at 4:12s. Light sort of drizzly rain throughout the run. 110K for the week. So that's my biggest week since early September. First time over 100K. So bit of everything in that week. It was good.
Yeah, your blue bars are just going up slowly. They're looking good.
Yeah. I'm just getting, being consistent, I suppose. Like some days are good, some days aren't as good. But in terms of my overall body, it's way better. Like I don't have that back pain anymore, and don't have like the hip pain or the hamstring pain. So that's makes running way more enjoyable.
Great signs. Hey, you reckon you'd be able to run a marathon at the moment at that treadmill tempo pace? 330s, 328s?
I don't know. One thing I'm actually finding sessions a lot easier than the long runs at the moment. The long runs are a real grind, which is just lack of volume. Like I got to an hour on Sunday, and I looked down at the watch, and I felt like I'd been running for 90 minutes already. I'm like, whoa, this second hour is going to be a struggle. And so I just had like then lots of ups and downs in that second hour. But then I got to like 15 minutes to go. I'm like, oh no, I'll be okay. I'll get through this. I don't think so. I just don't think I've done the volume.
Yeah. Well, good. Good signs though, with the body feeling good. I whipped through my week, Monday, last week at school. So I was kind of juggling that, you probably know what it's like, Brad, that last week when it's just all a bit, not so much crazy, but there's just heaps going on. You just want to get to the end of the term, end of the year. So running kind of was just a bit of a backseat for this week. 10K, 4:36 is Monday morning. Then Tuesday, caught up with Glenn. We did some 5-minute efforts, so 6x5 minutes. Went to a new location, this one, away from the old private investigator that I had the run in with last week. Still kind of ran on the same loop, just a different meet and place. 6x5 minutes, kind of keeping the heart rate around 160, 165, and off 2 minutes jog between. Pretty warm. It was 24 degrees by the end of it. We went 318, 319, 316, 314, 315, and then Glenn finished after the fifth one, and then I did the last one at 308. All up, it was 11.5K at 329s and felt good. I'm just trying to extend that one, longer and longer every week, trying to get a few more minutes at that threshold pace. Probably got to start stringing one together, though, where I don't have the 2 minutes jogging in between. But it's been really interesting to see the heart rate drop down from kind of like what I was probably hitting for 320 for 160 beats per minute a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago. I'm now hitting kind of like 315, 3 kind of 12, so that was good to see. A quick, 9-minute cool down to get to work on time. Wednesday, got out for an hour in the morning. Thursday, Carly's mum came and looked after Hudson so I could get for a run, but she didn't get there till about 9 o'clock, which is usually all good, but it was one of those nights when it just didn't cool down overnight and just super hot early, like I was probably 5 minutes into my 80-minute kind of medium long run, and like sweat's just dripping down your leg and stuff, and I'm like, oh, this isn't going to be good. So I kind of just tried to do this 25, 30-minute loop around in my house under as much shade as possible and just did that 2 and a bit times, just staying out of the sun. It was 4:33 pace, but, yeah, it was kind of just surviving it, just being out there for 80 minutes. I think it was probably close to 30 by the time I finished that one, but good to get another 80-minute one in the legs. Friday, last day of school for the term, I did just some Kenyan fartlek, like 2 minutes on, 1 minute jog, tried to keep the 2 minutes around 3 minute pace, was a bit quick on the jog early. Well, I guess the Kenyan fartlek, you are meant to kind of float that minute, but I'm just not fit enough to do that at the moment. And the first float was kind of, first jog was 4:10. And then I realized pretty quick that I just got to recover a bit more in that minute off. But anyway, that was a good one, just to be working at that pace. with that 8x2 minutes. What did I average there in the end? I think it was 3:22 pace for 6.8k, and then cooled down quickly again to get to work in 9 minutes, and then 60 minutes for Saturday at 4:31 pace. Also got out for a double Saturday afternoon, so got out for 30 minutes at 4:29 pace, and then Sunday 2 hours at 4:11. Did the first half an hour solo, got rolling too, had a bit of Blink 182 playing on my kind of iPod thing, Mighty thing, and kind of got rolling. I just had like their top hits off Spotify, you know, that little Mighty thing I've got that syncs with Spotify. So yeah. I just got all there. They got some hits there, don't they?
Great band.
Got some absolute hits. Have you paid attention to who's the lead singer? He's really into aliens and stuff these days, isn't he?
Travis Barker.
No, Travis Barker's a drummer. Who's the lead singer?
Oh, I don't know.
He left the band and they replaced him. And he's real into like aliens.
Is it
and
Mark
stuff.
Someone? Mark
Hopus?
I don't know.
Hopus?
I'm Googling it now as we speak. Anyway, there's a Joe Rogan episode on there of him and he's like full on into like aliens and stuff at the moment. Nah, Tom DeLonge. Tom DeLonge, yeah. He's the.
They sung that song about the alien.
Which one?
I don't know the name of it, but remember, it's a song about how's it go? I just remember there was a song. Surely you know. Surely you've heard their song.
What I listen to? Damn it! All the small things. What's my age again?
Yeah, it's off
first,
those albums.
First date.
Damn, rock, it's my favourite
rock show.
Damn, it's a great song. Yeah. What's my age again as well? Also good.
This is how good they are, but damn, it's not actually even in there like most played songs on Spotify. Like when you're searching, that drops down.
I reckon I had that on like a pump-up playlist back in the day before maybe run, race.
Aliens Exist. They sung a song called Aliens Exist.
Yeah, right.
And it's, hey, Mom, there's something in the bedroom. Hope it's not that creature from above. You used to read me stories as if my dreams were boring. We all know that conspiracies are dumb. That, surely you've heard that before.
I haven't heard that song before.
Oh, it's fucking good too. It's really good.
If you want to go on a bit of a trip, listen to his interview on Joe Rogan. It's quite out there. Next time you're in the car, you'll probably turn it off after 20 minutes. Anyway,
where's running at now, Brady? When's Moose riding your program and what races you got coming up?
Oh, I didn't finish my story about Sunday, Brad.
What's that?
Yeah, it's a good meme about you coaching me today, actually getting around. It's a few good, both of you guys coaching me, a few good memes. Whoever's in charge of that meme account's being brutal at the moment. Anyway, I'll talk about that a bit later on, maybe.
Too hard, I reckon.
Yeah. Anyway, so I did 2 hours. First half an hour, I put Blink 182 on and got rolling. Then I'm like, well, Glenn better be ready to go when I run past him. And he was almost half-stepping me the rest of the 90 minutes. So average 4:11, so he averaged 4:09s. But he started rolling. It took me a K to get rolling while all the small things were playing. Anyway, I cracked 117K for the week. So this week, Croaks, maybe 130. And then I'm hopefully, we'll see what the COVID situation is, getting up to the Canberra 5K road race in the middle of January there somewhere. Test the fitness out.
9th of January. So anybody that's interested, they're doing a 5K around the Stromlo Criterium course. It'll be 5 1K loops and it'll be like a certified course. They've got like community races and an elite race at like, I think it's like 8:15 at night. So hopefully conditions should be pretty good. I think, ACT Athletics website's where you can find info. Brady's doing it. I'm going to have a go in the 5 as well.
Yeah, both of us head-to-head again, just like Albert Park that time.
I'm not as confident as I was at Albert Park.
You'll pull it out, though, and I'm a bit on shaky ground as well, yeah? That iron infusion, I haven't got that yet. I've still got to get that sorted. Been playing a bit of phone tag with the hospital to get that sorted, but hopefully soon. And then I'm going to try transition into Archie's session tomorrow, which might test me out a bit. We'll see how we go. But I think I'm going all right.
Sounds like the old coach-athlete relationship's a bit shaky, Moose.
One with Moose?
Sounds like you're going rogue and you're just doing your own thing. It's like, oh, yeah, just join Archie tomorrow. And when's Moose writing you a program?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to do the training to be ready to do the training for Moose. I want to get myself fit so then I can be like, hey, this is what shape I'm in. Write me a program. And I need a big race too. I was thinking today I need something on paper, like, but I just wanted to get through the end of the year, finish off school, jump in and help these guys when I can, and then be like 100% know I can run 120, 130K weeks with no issues before getting someone to outlay 4 weeks for me. Does that make sense, Brad?
He doesn't want to waste his money, mate.
Times are hard for substitute teachers these next 6 weeks. Just remember that, listeners. If you're going to slag off teachers over school holidays.
I've actually been so flat out that I like when you sort of like, oh, I'll do my own thing for a bit. I'm like, that's actually suits me quite well.
I like doing my own thing as well. Like, I like just like experimenting with a few workouts that I see other people doing, but then adjusting the paces. And it's really just been helping out Archie and Glenn a bit. Like, I'm just really doing their workouts, which is good. And then I might, you know,
you coach both of them.
Yeah, but like that's 5 minutes one. He had 5x5 minutes. So I'm just like, I'll do that, and then just add another one on the end. So that's good. And that's when we've only got a group of three up here. If one of us is like, say Glenn's doing something and Archie's having a down week off the back of Launceston, and like, that's a perfect opportunity where we have to band together and help each other out for workouts. Mm-hmm. And I think we spoke about it last week, having people around, take that any day of the week, wouldn't you, training partners?
Yeah, absolutely.
Certainly
makes it easier.
So yeah, but yeah, no, I do want to, I'd love to lock in a marathon, but that's, yeah, I don't know. For someone who has hardly raced this year, I thought I would have been really motivated to jump in some of these, like feeling jealous that Launceston was on a couple of weeks ago, but I really didn't miss it at all. I've just been like, nah, I really just want a marathon and just get like a, you know, get that stuff rolling and work towards something. Nothing's really floating my boat at the moment. And obviously that's because of my lack of motivation to run on the track because of the old shoe rules.
Surely not.
People been writing to me flat out, saying, hey, those Dragonflies cooked my hammies as well. I only got five messages on the weekend. Renata Canova's come out on Let's Run. He's like, this is a ridiculous rule.
Really? Why?
He came out, it's just like, yeah, there was a whole, you know, in the top thread things, the top posts, he kind of did a post on Let's Run.
Why did he think it was a bad rule?
No, I just read the headline, mate. I didn't click on it. Just read the headline and posted it on my Instagram. Then people started replying. Nah, it was pretty much saying, like, how can something be legal on the roads but not on the track if there's no proven evidence that they supply any extra, like, benefit?
But there is evidence, though, right? But everything provides benefit.
Not on the track. You know? There's been no studies to say that they increase your efficiency.
But they're running still. Yeah. They're running. And that's what – it's been proven to improve running economy – by 4% or whatever, or one of the shoes was anyway. Not every shoe's been studied, but so is spikes. If you took spikes over wearing no shoes, so I guess it's just too convoluted to look at and go, oh well, what's the threshold for something that we consider too much performance?
But do you think if they were that good on the track, you'd see Cheptegei and Stewie and all the guys in the Diamond League lining up in them?
I still think they would be in spikes. I just think the turn of pace that you get from wearing less shoe on the track is like the responsiveness and the actual grip from spikes is I'm gonna struggle.
You're right. So that's the point he was trying to make. He's like, there's no advantage to wear these.
Yeah, then why not just open it up to the same rules that apply to the road?
Yeah. No, I'm not arguing it. I'm just interested in his argument and why he considered that.
I'll get Ross to put in the show notes as well, listeners, if you want to have a read of it. I guess that's the point. Trying to bang on about. Anyway, let's thank some Patreon supporters, eh? Kick us off, Bradley.
All right, I've got Curtis Treloar this week. He lives in Windsor in Victoria. He's run 18:44 at the Albert Park Run in 2020, 43:16 for 10K. 88 minutes for the half and ran 3:19 for his debut marathon, which was in Melbourne in 2019. A couple of fun facts about Curtis. Getting married to Julie on the 8th of Jan, proposed at Lake Louise in Canada, and loves running in the New Balance 1080. He's tall and he's got a beard. Nothing here about his swagger, but I'm sure he's got some good swagger as well. Hey, Brady.
I think when you say tall and beard, automatically equals good swag.
Yeah, so thanks for your support, Curtis, and all the best with the wedding.
Yeah, that's like 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away, Jan 8th. Good luck, Curtis and Julie.
Best day of life, isn't it, boys?
Oh, yeah, best day of your life. Yep. especially if my wife's listening, best day of the life.
I was just thinking, I haven't felt this hungover since this time in March, earlier in the year. That has actually brought back some memories.
You're going all right, though. We've only got about 30 minutes to go. You just keep stringing it together and you'll be fine. Lake Louise, you been there, anyone? That's a beautiful spot in Canada.
I've never been to Canada, actually.
Oh, you both add Canada to your list. I loved Canada when I went there. One of my favourite spots. It's kind of a bit like Melbourne, but just, I don't know, but overseas-y as well. Get a bit of culture.
Might be able to get there in 2030, the way things are going.
Yeah. I'm going to thank Joshua C. from Glen Iris in Victoria. 2305 for 5K, 4653 for 10K. 149 for the half marathon at Run Melbourne and 358 at the Melbourne Marathon 2019. Barracks for Collingwood, good team to follow. Joshua volunteers at Albert Park Parkrun quite a lot, I've heard. Saw a few photos of him as well. Loves a good night out in the beers, they reckon, as well. Favourite shoe is the Peg Turbo number 2, and he always reps the inside running Steigen singlet, I think, a bit. Going by his Instagram, he was eating chicken kebabs on Sunday morning. Had a few of those going around on the rotation thing there on his Instagram stories. Thanks for your support, Joshua. Moose, who you got?
I have Eddie McGough or Mago. Eddie Mago. Mago or McGough? McGough.
Goff. McGough.
Eddie McGough.
Wouldn't you, Brad, now, if you saw Eddie... that on a roll when you were marking the roll at school?
Yeah, I'd go McGough.
McGough, yeah, all right. McGough, he's from Adelaide, South Australia, works in finance for a wine company, started distance running about 4 years ago for fun. PB's 17:53 at local parkrun. Oh, I'm not sure whether we're accepting parkrun PBs as official or not. 10K, 36:46 at Launceston 2020. Yep, I'll pay that. While running the half marathon, oh, I don't pay that, sorry.
If there's a timing mat, would you pay it, or you reckon it's got to
be? Yeah, if there was a timing mat, for sure. Yep. Half marathon 1:19:30, Launceston 2020. That gets paid. Well done. Good time. And then the marathon 2:59:28 at Osaka in 2019. So that's solid as well. I think. Gee, he's right on. What, out of those two boys, 1:19:30 and 2:59, I think they're about equal.
Nah, no way. 1:19, he'll convert that to a 2:50 low.
1:19, that's double and...
2:40 add, and another 10 minutes.
Double it, yeah, because that's double it and add 20 minutes.
Yeah, no, you're right. The half is better.
Half for sure. Onceston. But still, looks like he's had that breakthrough, though.
Breakthrough,
That Launceston result... compared to his Osaka result.
Well, if you ask Tom DeCanto, a few people might think that the Launceston course was short.
Oh, no.
Really? I didn't ask him that. I didn't ask him that yesterday.
That's stiff. That's a joke,
I said, great run.
Yeah.
It was a
just
great run.
Just start with great run. Don't. Eddie's girlfriend wants to wish him happy holidays. Yep, so there you go, Eddie.
Happy holidays, Eddie. Hope the finance and the wine company's going all good. After, remember that China stuff a couple of weeks ago, not taking Australian wine anymore? That'd be right up Eddie's. That'd be on his desk at the moment, I reckon. Anyway, running news, fellas. Albie Thomas Mile, Brad, you were there. Give us a bit of a recap, atmosphere and stuff first. What was the vibe like? A long meet, stream went down. They got you on the stream action, but then I think they had a problem with Telstra.
Yeah, they did. So... firstly, hats off to Athletics New South Wales and also Bankstown. Like, they put in so much effort for this meet. Like, when I rocked up, just seeing the live, like, what goes into a live stream, like, there was hardware and cords going everywhere. Like, it makes podcasting look like a piece of piss. So hats off to them for that. Unfortunately, yeah, they did have a Telstra outage right around the time that Sarah Carley ran an Olympic qualifier in the 400 hurdles. But they were able to record everything, and all of the races now are on the like the Bankstown Athletics website. So, but like, they're a really passionate club, great volunteers. Like, even had the likes of Yusuf Abdi out there moving marquees around and moving starting blocks, and just the little one percenters, especially for like the main events, where they tried to make it feel like those, you know, the bigger European meets. So obviously, they had prize money, with the novelty checks. They had flowers for like the top three in the women's races as they crossed the line. And once the sun went down, like all of the main races were amazing. And yeah, atmosphere was pretty good. Like as you'd expect, like it's not a super popular sport in terms of, you know, getting crowds like it is at the NRL or the AFL. And because of COVID, there's a lot of athletes and people that couldn't actually come out to the meet, because anybody that was based pretty much north of the bridge was told that they weren't allowed to come, which meant a few of the fields were a little bit light on. Women's mile, maybe start with that one. So Jayla Hancock Cameron did like most of the work, I guess, for the first sort of K to 1200, and then it was Jenny Blundell sort of took it up. And like before the race, because Lyndon Hall was a scratching due to COVID, but I thought sort of on paper Blundell was probably the next best, but then with 200 to go, like say Keely Small was right up there the whole race, and Keely just had way too much speed over the last 200. Like she ran a 60 second last four to win the race in a meet record. So let me just get the times. So Keely won in 4:33.57. Jenny Blundell was second in 4:34.05. And Imogen Gardner was third in 4:39.23. So that's probably the best I've seen Keely run since she qualified, or since she ran at the Commonwealth Games in the Gold Coast. So she's obviously back to her best. Did you see it, Brady?
No, I haven't seen that one, Brad. I watched the last probably 800 metres of the men's race, and that's about all I've seen so far.
Yeah, so in that race, three teenagers, so Keely Small, Imogen Gardner and Imogen Stewart, they clocked the third, fifth and sixth fastest junior miles in Australian history. So, yeah, and then in the men's race, Will Austin Cray, he was the pacemaker and was originally asked to go out at sort of 58 second laps. And he started off and, 300 metres in, people were pretty reluctant to jump on the pace. So they were sort of rolling more around that 59 to 60 seconds for the first 1200. There was a fall with about 500 metres in. One of Jackson Elliott's guys fell, but the likes of Jeff Risley got caught up in it. So there's a little gap formed because of that fall. Will Austin Cray pulled the pin at sort of, he got them to a kilometre. After that, Jai Edwards was in front. He was then basically in front until 200 to go when Ollie Hoare put in a really decent surge, gapped him. And with 80 metres to go, Jai was able to find this extra gear and run away with it. So he ran a 55 second last 400 to run 3:57.3. Ollie Hall was second, 3:58.28, and Jeff Risey was third in 3:59.99. And so good run from all those boys. Jeff was particularly impressive based on just how much sort of distance he lost during that fall. He had to work really hard from sort of 500 to 800 to get back on. So, but it was a super exciting race. I was messaging Viv because it was like close to 10 o'clock and, you know, I'm normally in bed by that stage. So I said to Viv, as soon as they cross the line here in this men's mile, I'm out the gates. And with 80 to go, when Jai started coming back, because, you know, just knowing Jai, like, you know, he lives in Canberra now and he's just had so many injuries. And I know I talked him up a little bit last week. To see him come back and come over the top, I got out of my seat and then ran down to the fence and was pretty pumped up. So, yeah, it was a really, really good race to witness. Yeah, so you saw that, Brady?
Yeah, and it was like, you say 55 for the last 400, but I think the last 300 was when they actually got moving. Like it was, yeah, if they started putting the foot down at four, I reckon it could have been like a 53 kind of last 400. Like they still were sorting themselves out with 400 to go. And like when Hoare went, you're just like, oh yeah. Because this is the guy we've been talking about for months. Like Dathan Ritsenhide, coach now. We're kind of expecting to make the 1500 metre team for the Olympics. Well, I am anyway. Like he's the next you know, big thing on the Australian 1500 meter radar. And then to see Jai do that to him, like, beat him convincingly in the end, like, really in that last 120 metres, got up next to him and then went past him and, yeah, didn't need a dip or anything like that. And I don't know a lot about Jai. Like, it's a name you hear a bit, but then he disappears for 6 or 12 months and you hear a bit again and people close to him talk highly of him. But until I watched that, I'm like, okay, this kid's arrived.
Yeah, like, I've had massive raps on him for ages just because of what he won. One, what he did as a junior, but then with all of his injuries, like, he doesn't train that much. And, like, to be able to run these times off of very small mileage, like, I spoke to him after the race, and I'm just like, man, if you can string together 2 years of just uninterrupted training, like, you could run anything. And, like, I actually couldn't believe, like, it was, like, athletics, that race, like, I seriously was just sitting third row back, and for some reason I just jumped out of my chair and ran down to the fence because it was just like, oh, my God, like, because he had done a ton of work as well. So I didn't actually expect him to be able to kick back over the top of Ollie. And it probably should be said that Ollie's probably not at his best at the moment. Having come back from the US, he would have had to quarantine for 2 weeks. And, yeah, he's probably not in that same shape that he was when he was running over in the US. But no doubt he'll be back.
Yeah, true. Because he ran 3:53 over there, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That was good. A couple of 5Ks obviously, like, took him out. Like, the fields got taken out massively with the COVID stuff. Only 3 in the 5K. That was the one where we were trying to pick the winner to people win a slab of drinks. And there was just 3 starters in the end. Matthew Cox got the win in 14:36. Aidan Hobbs, second in 14:59. Those two out the front kind of by themselves the majority of the race. And Sam Hopper in third in 15:20. Marnie Ponton, she went around in the men's B race with Ruby White. I think you were doing some commentary there, weren't you, Brad?
Yeah, I was. So Ruby was actually in front, probably with 1,200 to go, but you could tell that Ruby was working pretty hard and Marnie still looked pretty relaxed. So Marnie was able to make up that sort of 10-metre gap over the next 800 or so and then kick away. So she ran 16:12 and Ruby ran 16:21.
So, yeah, it's good to see some 5Ks going as well. But it probably, like, when the COVID stuff hit, and it was probably a big meet as it was. So it kind of, yeah, strung things out a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. It was disappointing that the likes of Zach didn't get to run the 5K. But I guess the positive for the likes of Coxie and Aiden was that they still had prize money on the line. They paid down to third, and there was only 3 in the race. So they're all guaranteed a bit of prize money. And actually, that's the best I've seen Coxie run in a couple of years. He's had a few sort of issues and with injury. And, he was only 16 seconds off his PB, I think. So I said to him afterwards, I said, the only reason he ran so well is because there was cash on the line. Runs better when there's cash up for grabs.
Yep, he really put a gap in those last 2 laps to get that first prize money. Moosa's 5K over in New Zealand. Did you hear about this? New Zealand night of 5Ks. Broadcast live on TV over there. Sky Sport or something, I think it was. They ran pretty quick.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Pretty quick over there for New Zealand.
Yeah, the men's winner ran 13:31. That was Eric Speakman from the Napier Harriers. New Zealand has all their guns back, though, at the moment. If you listen to the Craig Kirkwood interview, he does talk about a lot of the kids back from college and back from other professional groups, all in New Zealand at the moment. And I know that they've all been sort of training together, at least some of them have, hanging out together. So that's good, a good spot for New Zealand at the moment to have that happening domestically. In the ladies race, Camille Buscombe,
it wasn't the ladies race. They put her into the men's B race, I'm assuming for a quicker field. I thought that was interesting that they were like, let's go for times and chuck her in with the fellas rather than win in the women's race.
Yeah, well, the ladies' race was won in 15:55.
Yeah.
So I know Camille went out at 15-minute pace. So she ran 15:28, but I'm pretty sure that the first maybe 2K she was through it in 6 minutes. I'm pretty sure of that. That's a hard way to do it. She's a bit of she doesn't mind putting it all on the line, Camille. Ran 15:28, which is a very good result, but probably not exactly what she was hoping for, given the early pace. Well, she came 18th in that heat, so that's pretty deep as well. B race.
I like that race. Though, in these events where it's just about times, like it's not about getting wins or championships or anything like that, that she can have the opportunity to sit in and have a crack at a time and not die wondering.
Yeah, there's a fairly stark difference between where she's at and where everyone else is at. It's not like there's five guys, or the top three guys were all around, we're all under 13:40. If she was running that, it would just be a purely solo effort, and what's the point, really, for her? So she might as well run in the men's and have a bit of help.
Last bit of news going to the USA. They put on this marathon project, happened in the early hours of Monday morning our time. I've been getting all the press releases for this in the last couple of months. I don't know who gave them my email address, but I've been...
Big dog.
Yeah.
Stop bragging.
No, I was stoked to get them in the end. Whoever passed that on, hopefully it's a listener. Thank you. And it says, like, Dear Running Worldwide Media. And I'm like, oh, yep, we'll claim that. They've done an awesome job. So this marathon project was kind of born, it says here, after the cancellation of like all the world's big marathons due to the COVID-19 outbreak, brainchild of Boom Management's Josh Cox. He used to be a runner as well. I reckon he's a manager as well of Sarah Hall and Matt Hilberg and Hoka NAZ Elite Ben Rosario. So they pretty much put on this race, 4.3-mile laps, and just got all these guns in America and Canada and a few overseas kind of athletes around. I think it was limited to 50 people in the men's field, maybe 100, 50 or 100 in the men's and women's field. Set them up with pacemakers. I know Nick Willis was doing one of the pace jobs for some of the females. There's guys jumping in for the males as well, getting them as far as possible. And probably an opportunity for these guys, these 209, 210 guys, who would usually be at World Marathon Majors that might not have pacemakers, you know, because they're not in that front pack, I was thinking. Like the Kenyans and the Ethiopians having, you know, that big pace group, getting them through a majority of the race in this instance. They were all set up for them. So pretty fast results in the end. We'll go to the women's first because that was where Sarah Hall, we spoke about her after the London Marathon. She took even more time off her PB. She ran 2:20:32 to get the win. Kira Dialmato, she ran 2:22:56. And Callan Taylor from NAZ Elite, she ran 2:25. All up there were how many? About 4, 8, 10, 12 women under. Probably should have counted those. I thought they might have had them next one. 15 women. No, 12 women under 2:30 for that race there. Any comments there, boys? Sarah Hall just gets quicker and quicker every time she races.
Yeah, it's 8 weeks ago London was, I think.
Really? Is that all?
I think it was 8 weeks. It's a very tight turnaround. Really tight.
Jeez, that's so good, isn't it? Like, you got to recover for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And then taper for
just,
one.
Yeah. Just a bit, I don't know. You look at it and you go, oh, that's not traditional, because most people would think, oh, that marathon has taken a lot out of you. You need to respect the recovery process. You need to maybe take some time off and then rebuild slowly. But by the time you do that, you can't be racing in 2 months. You're just getting back into it. So, yeah, how she pulls that off, it's quite remarkable.
Especially when you're running so much quicker than you have before.
Yeah.
But there's obviously some people out there, like physiologically, just bounce back like better than the average person. Like Yuki's the perfect example in the men. The guy can back up like week after week running fast marathons. And so there's obviously something in that, that either through her training or her physiology, she doesn't get as banged up from a marathon as what everybody else does.
Potentially. Yeah. Yeah, she might have a good routine with how she recovers that we don't know about. You know, like maybe, I'm not sure what it is, but it could be, I don't know, maybe some strong strength work help during the build-up helps her recover better afterwards. Like doing lots of specific work to strengthen your, say your quads get beat up. If you do a lot of quad work in the lead-up, like weights-wise, maybe they don't get as butchered on the day. And you don't feel like you have to recover as much? I don't know. I'm just wondering. What is the difference?
Second American now on the all-time list behind Dina Caster's 2:19. So that's got to be within her sights. You'd be thinking in the men's, Martin Hihia. He's a, looked him up today, actually, a medical student. He got the win, 2:08:59. Never heard of him before, this one. Noah Drudy, who I have heard about before, one of the best guys with his swagger getting around the run scene in the world, 2:09:09. and Colin Beeney. He was third, 209.38. They had seven in that race under 2:10. Any comments there, boys? You'd heard of Martin or Colin in third? Scott Faber was fourth. Your mate Jared Ward had a bit of a shocker, Moose. Camel Evans was in 15th, 212.15, the Canadian. It was pretty good field, though, wasn't it, for a small race that they just put on.
Well,
and they've got a race. Jared Ward, 35th.
That's an example of someone who did run at London who didn't back up well. It doesn't always go well, but yeah, I mean, I guess for me, Sarah Hall, she's not going to the Olympics, so you can probably risk a few more things. I think if someone's going to the Olympics in July, they're probably not taking these chances right now. But yeah, the men's, Noah Droddy, he's part of the group that I ran with when I was in Boulder there, but he was injured at the time. And I know he's suffered a lot with the injuries, and so this is a massive breakthrough for him. That Martin bloke, he's a dad. He's a dad, yeah. He was working on the front line, like with COVID cases, in the lead up to the race. That's how blue collar he is.
That is pretty cool.
Interesting story.
Is that Roots Running, that group you're talking about? Is that who he
runs
for?
Roots Running, that's right. Yeah.
Boulder.
So they had a lady, Aaliyah, who ran with me at Chico. She's a friend, and she ran 2:30. So she also had a breakthrough as well. She'd come down from 2:35 maybe. No, 2:33 maybe. Yeah, it was good.
Oh, I think I saw Gary Town put something on Facebook about her celebrating the Wildcat.
Yep. So that's pretty cool. It's a great idea. These guys put it together so well. Held in like an Indian reservation in Arizona. It's just super flat, super like good. The roads are perfect by the looks of it. Good.
And what was it between like 6 and 7K? Like, wouldn't that almost be the perfect loop? Like, not too short, not too long. Yeah, get your drinks. Maybe they probably have two set up for the drinks. It's just not going to muck with your head too much. I know your mate Tom Swartz, a tin man, Brad, he was man in one of the aid stations, handing drinks out. He put that on his Instagram. Yeah, he said he loved watching it. Yeah, isn't it? Like, you guys get a bit jealous when you see that.
Is it the future? Is it for elite? You know, I did hear talk on the long run about a potential marathon in Sydney early next year as a opportunity to qualify for Tokyo.
Yeah, I've been hearing these whispers.
Around a loop. So
5K loop, isn't it, in Sydney?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure the distance of the loop, but yeah, there's been whispers.
They'd want to tell people
soon.
Aren't
there already marathons on?
Canberra.
What's that?
Canberra's already on.
I don't know. Like, every time you start to sort of get your hopes up that things are just going to go back to normal, like, you know, you look at Sydney now and, like, who knows what impact that's going to have on the rest of the country over the next week or two.
Well, do you reckon they'll pull Zatopek? Because Zatopek's five weeks away, and if New South Wales people can't travel to it, you can't have a national title.
Yeah, potentially. It just feels like it's, you know, Groundhog Day or this never-ending cycle. It only takes like one or two infections for it to snowball. So, which is disappointing.
But, yeah, it does show, like, what Victoria did showed that it can, you can get on the right side of it. It's just when there's people coming back in, that's when the trouble is. When the travel starts happening and you bring more people in and, all of a sudden, it's like, can't control it as much, I guess.
Changes so quick, though, doesn't it? Last week, we weren't even talking about Sydney. Listener question, Bradley?
Yeah, before listener question, though, I just want to give a quick shout-out to James and Matt from Athletics New South Wales up there. I know some weeks we're quite critical of, like, the governing bodies when it comes to athletics and the people that work at these places maybe not sort of having the athlete's best interests at heart, but these two guys, like having seen them on Saturday, rock up, you know, obviously getting the live stream together at, you know, well, I got there at 3:30 and they were well and truly already there. And for people at home, like the live stream's actually more difficult than what you think. They sit and they're looking at this little screen. They're not even actually watching the race live. They're sitting in front of the actual clock. So they're not getting any splits. And to try and keep it interesting for that period of time, plus, like, the previews, like, they put a 25-minute video out previewing the events. Like, if you had, like everybody involved in athletics, like James and Matt doing this sort of thing, the sport would be in a great place. Like they certainly go above and beyond their pay grades. So hats off to you guys and all the volunteers that are like James and Matt up there. So yeah, I just feel like I should give those guys a shout out just, you know, as an observer on Saturday.
Good shout out, Cokes. I like it. And you got any shout outs, Moose, before we go to listen to question?
Oh, no one's paying me money like they're paying Cokes.
No,
hit someone else.
He's a man of people.
No cash for comment. But I just think it's, you know, we're often critical at times, and you know, there's two guys, and obviously there's a team behind them, so they would say that it's not just them. But it goes to show that there are still people in the sport that are passionate about the sport and go above and beyond what they should be actually, or what they're getting paid to do, I suppose. Yeah. Anyway, listener question. With Christmas fast approaching, do you have any tips with maintaining training during this time? Do you guys personally enjoy training at Christmas time and put any strategies in place to ensure you still hit your planned training? That question comes in from Mackenzie Underston. Thank you, Mackenzie.
This was timing.
Actually, I do. This was good because we were talking about this the other day. I plan doubles for function days because it gives me an excuse to not get stuck into like tons of food and tons of beers if I have a run planned for the afternoon. So if I go to let's say Christmas Day, go to a Christmas lunch somewhere, then if I know I'm running that afternoon, then I won't be drinking 8 beers and I won't be eating 6 desserts because it'll affect my run that later that day. So I actually plan on that as a bit of a self-regulator.
Do you think balance though is important? Like, could you do the double day the day before and plan a single day so you can enjoy a couple of beers and 6 desserts with your family?
Yeah, but what do I want 6 desserts? No one's ever, like, that's a regretful thing to have 6 desserts. I still eat, I still drink, I still have desserts. I'm just making sure that because I have a run plan, I'm not doing it in excess. And I know I'm going to feel terrible if I do it in excess. Like last night when I had 1,500 beers and whiskeys, like at the time, that's not a good, like at the time, it's a fine decision. Now I'm looking back going, you know what? I regret doing that.
But it is good to get it out of your system though as well. Like yeah, I had that a couple last week when I was talking about being hungover as well. Like I'm like, okay, I'm happy to turn the running back up, you know, turn the volume up on it this week, even though it's Christmas week, because I've got that out of my system and it's done. And I'm like, I've got that fire in the belly now. But if you're someone who's been training at a higher level for the last 2 months and you haven't let it out of your system yet, I'd be, you know, if someone said to me, hey, I want a down week over Christmas, like, I'd be more than happy to say, yeah, go for it, mate. Enjoy time with your family, have a few beers, and then we'll turn it back on the week after.
Yeah, but this is also the time that I might have a week off work. I'm going to use that to maximum effect for my running.
Yeah, it's so different for different people's situation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's been times where I've actually shut things down over Christmas and gone, you know what, I'm starting from the 1st of January as of, you know, not so much a New Year's resolution, but it's like, all right, I'm going to basically enjoy myself in December, but then and just jog as I feel, do whatever sessions I feel like doing. But then 1st of January, that's when I flick the switch. But then there's other times like leading up to Lake Biwa, like Christmas was a super important period. Like I couldn't, what is it like? It was probably 6 weeks, 7-8 weeks out from the marathon. So during that period, you're motivated because you've got a goal straight, like not long after Christmas. But here's a question for you guys. As coaches, I've come across this recently. You set your program, you send them out. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm generally like Tuesday, Friday sessions. And Friday is Christmas Day this year. How many of your athletes have said, oh, I can't do a session on Christmas Day, like for various reasons, because I basically just set the session on a Friday because I'm the type of person that, well, I don't care what day of the week Christmas falls on. If it's a session day, I'll just go and get it done in the morning or find time to get it done. And I probably enjoy my day more, you know, having done something hard.
Definitely.
I think it's rewarding doing a session or a long run on Christmas Day. Like you feel a bit of like extra not toughness. I don't know what the word is, like dedication, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always enjoyed that.
You had athletes message you?
Yeah, I had one who was just like, what is this like? This is a bit rough for Christmas Day. But then I did message a lot of people and kind of put it at the start of the week note saying, hey, everything in here is just a guide. Your life's going to be a different stress than, you know, probably the next person. So don't feel any pressure that you have to get this done this week. And I understand if it's not going to get done. So, and then even a couple of, even Christmas and a guy going like the Boxing Day test kind of thing. Like I just put on the top of that optional. Like here's a workout, it's optional. If you don't do it, there's no pressure for me. If you do it, cool.
If you're doing two sessions a week, there's a lot more flexibility with that. Because on yesterday's run, running with Jack, he's like, oh, my wife wasn't real happy with you. I think it was Jack. My wife wasn't real happy with you setting a session on Christmas Day. I'm like, oh, it's like, you know, it's a Friday. It's a session day. But, you know, just push it back to Saturday and do your long run on Sunday. It's fine.
And it's different for people with kids and stuff as well. Like, and then just it's a hard time to plan a coach at the moment. Like, I don't know if you guys have many people in Sydney. So trying to touch base with the people in Sydney to see how these restrictions have affected them. And then also hitting people up saying, like, have you got time off work? When are you going away? Like, what's your Christmas Day and Boxing Day like? Do you want a session? Do you not want a session? Yeah. It's been a lot of communication the last couple of days.
No doubt parents, like when kids are like five, six, up at like 4 a.m. on Christmas morning, like to open presents and things like that, they're obviously going to find it hard to get out, you know, in the morning for a session.
Go set 8x1K for those guys.
Yeah.
See how they go. Moose, any other strategies you put in place? You're playing those doubles? Anything else? Mid-strength beers. I recommend big strength. I've just recently discovered those.
Yeah, this is not an issue for me. Like, training at Christmas is training at any other time, except it's easier because I'm not at work as often because there's public holidays and we're actually taking time off work. So for me, no dramas. This is, I'm not a, you know, my thoughts on Christmas. We've been here enough years for this. I'm not a Christmas guy.
Same as birthdays, Moose. You're a real Grinch, aren't you?
Moose, my birthday is actually next week, I think. We might be recording when it is my birthday, actually.
Well, you know you're not going to get a happy birthday.
Do you want a night off or something?
We might move recording to Tuesday next week, so you have to wish me happy birthday on air. I'll see if I can get out of here for 60 minutes.
This is the favourite time of your week anyway, so it's like a little present to yourself.
What milestones are important to you, Moose? Do you have anything where you're like, oh, you know, you'll say congratulations to somebody or wish them well?
No.
I'll say congratulations if they have a child. That's pretty cool.
I don't know if you did that, did you?
I'm still waiting.
Well, not you two.
Someone actually confused me with you on Instagram. They sent me a message saying like, yeah, good book recommendation with Ready Player One. At least you're better than the other two that bangs on about having kids. And I'm just like, I'm pretty sure I am one of the guys with the kids. And they're like, oops, sorry, wrong guy. I'm like, but I am the one reading Ready Player One. Thanks for replying. I'm like,
I saw that photo and I've still never heard of it. I've heard of it now. Obviously,
it's a terrible movie after you read the book, though. Like, I thought the movie was actually pretty good before I read the book, and then I rewatched it. Terrible. I got another book recommendation for you, Brad. You read Boy Swallows Universe? You read that, Trent Dalton? You read that, Moose? It was like book of the year last year.
Trent Dalton's
the author. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy Swallows Universe. You would have seen it at the bookshop. Anyway, it's his second one. That's what I'm reading at the moment. It's pretty good. I don't know what it's called. Actually, I should know what it's called. I've read about 150 pages of it. Recommend that, people out there. Trent Dalton. It's called All Our Simmering Skies. Anyway, what's coming up? Oh, we're not going to have Scott Moose on the Loose here. Moose on the Loose. You got a question here again, Moose?
Oh, I did. We'll make it a quick one. Don't go too deep. We're running tonight. Bree was on the bike with Ali and I running, and we were talking about Ali said she's turning into a monk now in order to prepare for the Olympics, like no more getting on the piss, that kind of thing. And we started to come up with some sort of strategies or some things that you could change to prioritize your running more. So, for instance, my suggestion might have been if you have a 60-minute run, don't allow 60 minutes for that run. Allow an hour 20, and then either side of that you can prepare better, and then you can also do your drills, strides, whatever you need to do, you actually have time for it. And then when you're running, you're not stressed as well about time, and you don't feel like it's a rush, and so you'll probably enjoy your run a little more. So for me, that was one thing, is to open up more time for your actually, like, for your 60-minute run, add 20 minutes onto that allocated patch of time for your day. What about you guys? What do you think you would, at the moment, what do you think you could change to better prioritize your running?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing as well. Because I'm on 6 weeks school holidays now, because when I'm teaching, it means I've got to be home at 7:30. And because I'm up with Hudson at like 6 to 6:30, it means I've only got that hour. That's why I'm talking about these like 9-minute warm downs and things like that. But this week, I was just saying to Glenn yesterday on the long run, like, we're going to be back to like 4, 4.5K warm-ups to really get our mileage back up, just because we're not rushed to go to work. But then, I think you got to, this is a routine that Carly and I have in place where I kind of look after Hudson until 6:30, but it only allows me an hour to run in the mornings. And when it gets hot over summer, it's probably something that's going to be fine for school holidays. But once Feb rolls around, I'm going to have to probably change a routine at home to make that work better, just because you got to do the longer run during the morning before it gets too hot. So time, yep. Same with me, yeah.
Time, yep.
Time is money.
I don't know, like, I have a pretty flexible life. I can sort of run most of the time. The big thing I've changed recently is negotiating with Viv to sort of get some leave passes at night. Like, for a long time, I always felt like I need to be home every night to help with the kids, like getting them to bed. But I've started to realize like how important it is and how much I enjoy meeting this group that I meet now, like every second Tuesday, but it's actually soon going to be every Tuesday night. That's been good for my running. I reckon, you know, Brady, you're talking about my blue bars increasing. That's largely as a result of probably enjoying my running a bit more, which is a combination of my body improving, but also just that social aspect. So that's one thing that I've been able to sort of put in place with Viv, is that she's okay for me to go every Tuesday night, because they, you know, obviously start at 5:30, 6 o'clock. So it's a pretty it's a pretty late night. Yeah, it's not a great time for people with kids. But it's been good for my running.
Yeah, good. I'm the same, Brad. Like, just like Archie and Glenn and I started in March. Like, it just makes a world of difference. I don't know how we used to do it solo before this.
No, me neither. So I don't know. I think a lot of it comes down to motivate. Like, when I was super motivated, I didn't have an issue going and doing it. Whereas now, I just need a little bit more help with the motivation.
Very good. Anything else you come across, Moose, other than time? What else did you talk about on the long run?
Drinking alcohol. We talked a lot about the events from the night before.
It's funny that you're both hungover and just making these big life decisions about doing this.
Yeah, I think I was in the worst state, but definitely the alcohol. We talked about food, making probably better food decisions. For Ali, it was maybe making a lunch break during her work day to give herself a better chance to eat during the day.
Time and like just sitting down, like social media type stuff.
Yeah, like, I said get rid of the phone, out of the room.
I'm so bad at that. Like, the amount of time that I would have been on like Instagram, Facebook, or just sitting on a couch, whereas that time could have been used to stretch or massage, or, you know, use the massage gun, that sort of stuff, which would improve. I could spend an extra hour and a half a day, I reckon, doing other things that I just waste.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good one. And then the sleep thing with the social media stuff at night, you're going to improve your quality of sleep. You're going to get rid of that thing before bed and maybe go to a book or something like that. Yeah.
Some life lessons there for you. What's coming up, Brad? What do you got coming up? Christmas? What's Santa bring?
Yeah, so don't know. Probably nothing, actually. I haven't asked for anything. Going to the track tomorrow. We're actually going to go out for some drinks and dinner after the session. And then Christmas Day we'll be here. My parents are coming over from the coast, which actually last night ACT government released a statement saying that obviously people from Sydney couldn't come to Canberra anymore. People from the Illawarra, which is like just south of Sydney, around Wollongong, couldn't come. And they also had the Shoalhaven, which is where my parents live. But that today they said that was a mistake. So at this stage, they're coming over on Christmas Day. We'll spend the morning with them and then out to Viv's parents' place in the afternoon. And then, not much on after Christmas. I know there's a few, I think there might be one or two Christmas park runs on here in Canberra, so maybe go and do like a tempo.
Moose, what do you got coming up?
Just training, just getting into it now. Time to take the next step again. Going to sell some alpha flies. Release them during the week, a few alpha flies. Still got a few left, surprisingly. So if anyone's chasing an alpha fly, then see what sizes we have online.
Getting any dragonflies, Moose?
Here we go, Croak's getting a pair.
Potentially, yeah, I've got to look at that. We do have some planned in there. It's just it's just working with the supplier.
9.5, Moose, 9.5, just quarantine it.
Yeah, look, here he comes. Can't find him in the fucking outlet stores. Comes begging to daddy. call me daddy.
Hey, mate, I've sent you clients.
Yeah, no, I'll get you a pair, of course. I'll look after you. Free shipping.
Actually, I was running with a guy yesterday. He was wearing the what's the training version of the Alpha Fly?
The Tempo Next.
And one of the pods was like squeaking.
Oh yeah.
that's just normal on the Next Percent. I find on the Alpha Fly. Yeah. When I'm warming, like if I'm just jogging to like I've changed my shoes after I've warmed up, and then I'm like jogging to where we're starting the workout, it squeaks. But then when you get going at a quicker pace, it doesn't squeak.
Got pretty annoying.
Does yours squeak, Moose?
My alphas don't.
You don't.
I've got a tempo; it doesn't squeak either. There is an actual like some of them get deflated pods, and that's what happens or leaks in them or whatever. Yeah.
We were running on like grass and sand and sandy like trail section. I wouldn't imagine that they're designed for that sort of running.
No, that's not a good call wearing that. Although Bree loves it. She wears hers on dirt roads all around here. She actually enjoys them.
Yeah, Archie wears his on dirt up here. It's like his daily trainer.
I think dirt's okay. It's probably just not trails. That's probably not the right one, the right spot for him.
Rocks and stuff. What's Santa going to bring you, Moose?
Purchased
pop for you for the week.
Moose's purchase of the week should have been something for Bree.
Yeah, well, I'm working on that still. Working on that.
Kind of fine.
Yeah, nah, it's in the works. It's going to be a big one.
What are you getting, Brady?
Nah, no idea. Not sure. Told Carly I wanted a motorbike, but I don't think that's going to go down real well. Might be too expensive.
A motorbike, eh? Yeah,
that's what everyone says. Bike. Nah, I used to ride around a postie bike back in the day. Little 110 CT Honda. No clutches, change gears when you want. I just love hooking around town and I'm just parking on the footpath and then ended up selling it.
There is just that danger though, like
not in Chukamama. There's some, I don't ride down the highway.
There's still some crap drivers out there.
That's what they teach you when you get your license though. It's just like ride like everyone's trying to hit you. It's kind of like a game of Mario Kart when you go to work every day. It's fun.
But why would you want to take the risk?
All right, you just got to live a life, Brad. Just have a bit of fun. It is exciting. True. It's an exciting way to get to work. Mm-hmm. And I would have ridden for 6 years and never had an issue, I reckon. Mm-hmm. 18 through to 23, 24. Anyway, so that's not going to happen though. We're done, boys. Next week we'll be recapping the Australian running year. We'll hand out some awards. Remember we do that at the end of every year. Have a crack at that. Same as previous years. Get thinking. Also, patrons in the work of our plan and a bit more bonus content, possibly another series. Keep your post on that one. And that's it, fellas. Have a good Christmas.
Listeners. I'd like to go back, actually, Brady, during the week and see, because remember one of the questions that we always answer is, like, who's the athlete to look out for next year? So we'll have to see what we actually said for that.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember we did that?
Yeah. We do that.
I might have to go through. I'll go through and listen and see what we actually said.
Did I say Pat Tiernan or what?
Oh, you might have.
Or was that the year before?
I think you actually. I don't know. I remember you were having the bushfires, right? Brad. We record that episode. You were
out
of bushfires. I was up at Falls Creek about to get evacuated.
I reckon I had Rose Davies in there. Probably had Jess
the year before.
Jess Hull, Stewie, Brett, probably printed all it those should be Aussie
pretty,
records.
Should be pretty straightforward this year, shouldn't it? Athletes of the year. Probably only two names to be thrown up there.
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, I thought you meant it's not straightforward picking two to look out for. That's tough.
Oh yeah, that's tough. I reckon I've got my one to look out for already. Actually, I just thought about it.
Archie Reed.
Maybe not 2021 on the world stage. See what happens.
Glenn McMillan.
You going all right? All the Chickamauga boys, watch out for him. All right, boys, we're done. See you, listeners. Have a good Christmas. See you next week.
You too. See you guys. Yeah. Doesn't matter if it don't come back. Under the